Yankees are surging, plenty of NFL news and notes, and Max Kellerman is being replaced on First Take. LaValley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the LaValley Sports Talk podcast, brought to you by the Soundland Network. As always, I'm your host, Chris LaValley. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. New York Yankees are in the midst of an 11-game winning streak. They look tremendous. Yes, I am the same guy who was on this podcast a few weeks ago and on Spaceball, bitching about my team, talking about how I couldn't stand watching them, how Brian Cashman needed to go, how Aaron Boone needed to go, how this team was just dreadful, and I was hoping that they weren't going to make the playoffs, and that I just wanted the season to be over because I couldn't stand watching this baseball team. I enjoy watching the team because they're winning, yes. So that part has changed because they are winning. They look like they're actually having fun out there, which winning always helps, obviously, right? When you're losing, it doesn't look like it's a whole hell of a lot of fun. But it seems like the moves that Cashman did make, the chemistry seems to be working. Rizzo was an excellent addition. But I still believe that Brian Cashman has to go. He's well past his prime. And Aaron Boone, I still think, sucks as a manager. That has not changed. And my fear is that because it looks like we're on the trajectory to make the playoffs, even if we play in the wild card game and we lose a wild card game, it doesn't matter. We're on the trajectory to make the playoffs again. This is now going to create a cushion for both Cashman and, most importantly, for Aaron Boone. And that bums me out. Because for all the people who want to praise Brian Cashman, I still don't like the way this team is developed. This team is built for very, very, very short-term success. Okay, he has not created a team that is going to last more than, or be successful for more than a season, maybe two seasons, and then shit's going to start falling apart because that's the way Cashman has been building these teams. And I want my team to be good for the long haul. I want to have other pieces in so that we're constantly, you can bring a piece or two in every season, but you still have a core there that you're building around. To me, there is no core that Brian Cashman is building around. He's just going out there every free agency and just grabbing random people saying, oh, look, you hit a lot of home runs. Oh, you hit a lot of home runs. Oh, you hit a lot of home runs. Let's just keep refilling the lineup with people who smack home runs rather than bringing in people who can hit for average, get on base, steal some bases, that type of stuff. Our pitching staff has been great. Look, I was dead wrong about our pitching staff, and I can't say that enough. I mean, we're top 10 in all pitching categories right now. We're fifth in batting average. We're third in whip. We're fourth in ERA. And we're ninth in quality starts. So the pitching has not been the issue. It hasn't been the issue all season. And I was wrong about that. Coming into the season, I was sitting back going, we're going to have an excellent lineup. We could have the best offense in baseball. Our pitching is where I'm scared. And it's actually our offense that sucks. We're 19th in runs. We're 19th in batting average at .238, which is atrocious. We're 6th in on-base percentage, so that's semi-positive. But we're 20th in slugging percentage. We have all of those home run hitters on our lineup, and we're 20th in slugging percentage. Think about that. Okay, so that's my point, is that if and when we make the playoffs, people are just going to brush past all of these, well, to me, they're major things, but people will look at them as minor issues, and make excuses for Cashman and make excuses for Aaron Boone. And that bothers me because I don't want them to be a part of the Yankees anymore. They both suck at their jobs. But once we make the playoffs, or if we make the playoffs, but I do think we're going to make the playoffs, let's be real. They now have an out. They have an easy out of, well, look, we were successful this year. We're going to keep building on this momentum and yada, yada, yada. And then Cashman's going to be on the free as he's going to remain the GM for this team for another like decade. And we're never going to win a World Series. And that's what it comes down to for me right now. Yes. Are we going to make the playoffs? Yes, it looks like it, but we're not the best team in the American League. Not even by a long shot. Tampa Bay is a much better team than we are. And so aren't the White Sox. And you can even make an argument, as much as it pains me to say this, and it really does, it gives me indigestion to even mention this team, the Astros might be better than us as well. Even though right now we're tied with them as far as records go. But the Astros may be a overall better team than the Yankees. The Red Sox, I was wrong about that. Okay. I said that I thought the Red Sox were going to make it to the World Series. They now seem to have hit a skid, and they can't get out of their own way right now. Now, and I also think that while Cashman did make some decent moves at free agency, there are other teams in the American League that didn't make the necessary moves that they should have made, and that's also helping make the Yankees look better, a la the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox did not make moves that they should have made. We talked about this on Spaceball before. Austin had talked about how, you know, there were some, he didn't hate everything that they did, but he also didn't love it. I was on the same page. I thought that they missed on a few things. I think that the not getting Rizzo is actually turning into being a bigger kick in the stones for the Red Sox than I initially thought it would be. Rizzo has, I think, the fact that the Yankees outbid the Red Sox for Rizzo is turning into a much bigger deal than I ever anticipated. Because it's almost like Rizzo is the person who's going to determine who's going to make it to October. Now, both the Red Sox and the Yankees may make it to the wild card playoff game, and that would be incredible if that ends up being the case. That would be a game for the ages. So winner take all, wild card game, Yankees, Red Sox. I mean, that's all you can ask for. That's like a mini World Series in and of itself. So that would be pretty cool. But anyway, the Rizzo aspect of it may be the determining factor, which I never thought that was going to be. But anyway, so teams like the Red Sox that didn't make the necessary moves that they needed to make at the trade deadline has made, in my opinion, Brian Cashman's moves that he did make look greater than they may be when it's all said and done. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not willing to give Brian Cashman credit. And a lot of people could be listening to this and going, dude, you're just a hater. Like, get off your take on Brian Cashman. I'm sorry. I can't get off my take for Brian Cashman. I just can't. The guy has sucked at his job for over a decade. And it drives me nuts that as long as the Yankees keep making it to the postseason, even if we're limping into the postseason, he's going to constantly get a pass. So anyway, I have spent 7 minutes not really giving the Yankees credit. Let me give the Yankees credit here. The chemistry on the team looks great. We're beating the brakes off the baseball right now. The offense is finally coming together, and the team looks like they're having fun. Like they actually look like an enjoyable team to watch. Again, winning helps cure all things. So when you're winning, obviously you're going to have a lot more fun than when you're losing. But this team does look like it's coming together. Now, I'm afraid that we're streaking way too early and that coming into October, we may hit a cold spell. It always concerns me whenever a team peaks or streaks this late into the season, but this far away as we are right now from the postseason. That is my concern. Now, if we were doing this nearing the end of the season, like if we were ending the season on an 11-game winning streak or a 12-game winning streak or even a 5-game winning streak, whatever it may be, and we looked good, like this good heading into the postseason, I would be much more confident about our chances to make somewhat of a run. This type of run makes me a little bit concerned because there's always that chance for a cold streak. And that would be absolutely devastating for this team because we've seen this lineup before go from a couple games of streaky, of just not, again, beating the brakes off the baseball, scoring a lot of runs, and then all of a sudden we hit a wall and we can't score more than 2 runs a game for over the course of like 10 to 12 games. So maybe the chemistry on this team, everything just seems to be going our way. Maybe they've turned the corner and we're going to see a team that's going to average 4 to 5 runs a game for the rest of the season. And if that's the case, then yes, this Yankees team can make a run in the postseason. But again, I need to see it to believe it. This team does not deserve anybody's, especially mine, but anybody's undue confidence in them. They don't deserve any type of confidence because they haven't been consistent enough all season to elicit that type of confidence. So anyway, overall, I think the team's going to make the playoffs. Congratulations to them for being in the midst of an 11-game winning streak and the fact that they just won 2 straight against the Atlanta Braves, who have been just as hot of a baseball team as the Yankees. So those are solid wins. Can't take anything away from them. They've had some solid wins. They swept the Red Sox last week. To me, that was the best part of the whole season, was that the Yankees finally actually got some revenge against the Red Sox after the Red Sox had absolutely dominated us the first half of the season. So that made up for some stuff. But anyway, the Yankees are winning, it's as a Yankee fan, I'm happy, but it's so weird. I don't mean to be that pessimistic fan. It's just tough for me to buy all in to this team because of how I feel about Cashman and Boone and how I fear that the short-term success is going to lead to long-term failure if we keep both of these people at the helm over the course of the next 5 to 10 seasons. Has found a new football team. The 10th overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft is now on his fifth NFL franchise in 3 years. Think about that, fifth. This kid came in to the league. Everybody was touting him as being one of the next great quarterbacks. People loved him. I did not. I'm going to pat myself on the back on that one. I said at the time of his draft, he was overhyped. He was not going to be good. To me, he was a third round draft pick at best. Clearly that has showed. Now, I've somewhat felt bad for him initially because I felt like he got a raw deal in Arizona. Arizona made the right call by moving on from him immediately the next year and drafting Kyler Murray. That was clearly the right call. But I still feel like he got a raw deal in Arizona. But the fact that he's on his fifth team in 3 years, I mean, that just shows you that this kid is just not that good. He's not. He's not good. I can't believe he's still getting opportunities here. He's never going to play in Atlanta unless Matt Ryan gets injured. So I don't really understand the play here for him, aside from the fact that he's just trying to maintain in the league as best as he can. But he's, look, man, Rosen, as far as I'm concerned, Rosen's career is, he's done. He's done in this league. I would be shocked if he remains in the league any more than maybe at the end of this season or next season. He could be a practice squad dude, but he's never, ever going to be an NFL starter as far as I'm concerned. The New Orleans Saints have definitely found their quarterback in Jameis Winston. I mean, I think we all knew that was going to happen, right? I mean, Taysom Hill is a gimmick. I mean, he's always been a gimmick. I had a really hard time believing Sean Payton was going to make Taysom Hill the starting quarterback for the season. I think bringing in Jameis Winston, the whole point of bringing in Jameis Winston for Sean Payton was he was going to be the project for him last year. He was going to have the opportunity to watch Drew Brees play, learn from Drew Brees, and then he was going to become the new quarterback for the Saints in the interim, giving the Saints an opportunity to possibly draft a new quarterback or do whatever they need to do. But Jameis Winston helped beat the Jaguars last week in the preseason game. He went 9 of 10 for 123 yards and 2 touchdown passes. Look, Jameis Winston, I am not a fan of Jameis Winston because as far as I'm concerned, Jameis Winston is more interested in throwing the ball to the defense than he is to his own offensive players. But he is a better option at quarterback than Taysom Hill. Like Taysom Hill is like I said, he's a gimmick. I mean, he come in, he could play a couple plays at quarterback. Like if Winston was to get injured and Taysom Hill had to play quarterback like he did last year when Drew Brees got injured, do I think the Saints could be somewhat successful? Sure. But I think the Saints do have a better chance with Jameis Winston long term than they do with Taysom Hill. And I think that the majority of people out there honestly believe that as well. Another story that I wanted to touch on based off of a preseason performance. And again, I know it's preseason. I talked about it last week. Everybody's overhyping the rookie quarterbacks, but this particular performance is awesome just because of the irony involved in it. Mitchell Trubisky went into Chicago and beat the brakes and embarrassed the Chicago Bears in Chicago. Mainly he embarrassed Matt Nagy, who, can we all just admit, Matt Nagy is an overrated coach? The fact that Mitch Trubisky looked this good is insane. Like, this goes to show you how terrible of a coach Matt Nagy is. He's just not a good coach. I'm sorry. He's not. He's not a good head coach. The Bears should have fired him at the end of this season. When the Bears aren't good at the end of this season, Matt Nagy will very likely lose his job. Mitch Trubisky was 20 of 28 for 221 yards and a touchdown. He absolutely throttled the Chicago Bears. I believe they put up, 28 points or 30 points by halftime. I mean, it wasn't even close. Or 34 points at halftime. They were up with Trubisky at quarterback. I mean, it's just, it was awesome. It was good for Trubisky. Like, that had to feel great. After getting screwed over by Matt Nagy over the past couple years, Nagy did not work with Trubisky, did not help develop him. He's now with a team that clearly has tried to find ways to develop him. Now, look, he's trade bait. That's exactly what Buffalo is doing, is they're building up Mitch Trubisky so they can turn around and they can trade him either in the middle of this season or for next season and get some draft picks out of him, maybe even get a player or two, and which is great for both parties. I mean, this is a win-win, both for Trubisky and for the Bills. But it just, for me, it was good for him, man, because I'm not necessarily a fan of Trubisky. I don't think he is a great quarterback, but I do think that the way that Matt Nagy coached him up, or lack thereof, over the past couple seasons was just absolutely dreadful. And I think that I've always felt that it was more on Nagy than it was on Trubisky for why the Bears haven't been successful. And now for the big story, at least for me anyway, this week, and that's the fact that Carson Wentz has returned already. So Carson Wentz, this is according to ESPN, Carson Wentz returned to practice for the Indianapolis Colts on Monday, 3 weeks after surgery to remove a broken bone from his left foot. The Colts originally said Wentz, who had foot surgery on August 2nd, would be limited in practice this week, and that wasn't the case at all. Wentz took all the first-team reps and 7-on-7 work and didn't give way to a backup quarterback until nearly an hour into practice. Receiver Zach Pascal said Wentz was clicking on all cylinders in his first practice since July 29th. According to Frank Reich, he said, and I quote, "When I first saw him hopping around out there, I thought his movement looked pretty good." Reich said he was a little surprised to have Wentz back just 3 weeks after surgery. The Colts originally said Wentz would be out 5 to 12 weeks. So look, this is tremendous for Indy. This is tremendous for Wentz. Wentz could play in week one. Now, I was spouting doom and gloom about my Colts opening the season a couple weeks ago, looking at the schedule and saying, we're going to be lucky to win two games. If we can win three, we're in good shape. But now with Wentz possibly being able to start week one, I mean, this completely changes my outlook for this team. If Wentz is healthy going into the season, there's no reason why the Colts aren't going to win one of their first two games. So if Wentz is healthy, and I'm going to assume that if he starts week one, he's at least 85 to 90% healthy. If he's that healthy, the Colts have every opportunity to win one of their first games, either against Seattle or the Rams. I would lean more towards Seattle than the Rams, but still, they have the opportunity to go 1-1 in their first two games, and that's huge for them, because I think if they can win one of those first two games, then again, they have a gauntlet the first 6 weeks of the season, but winning one of those first two would be huge for them moving forward. So it completely changes my outlook on this season, again, if Wentz is healthy. So as negative as I was a couple weeks ago, I am now that much more positive. So I've gone 180 on this whole thing, on my season. Now, with that being said, the Colts could still choose to sit him. And frankly, I wouldn't be upset with that. If the Colts said, look, Reich came in and he said, look, man, you look good. You look like everything's healing properly, but we're going to sit you at least for week one, maybe week two, just to be 100% cautious and make sure that you are 100%. I would be okay with that, because we've already seen what happens to Wentz when he rushes himself back or the coaching staff rushes him back. He ends up getting injured again. So to me, practicing a little bit of caution here could go a long way for long-term success. And that's all I care about. I don't care if Carson Wentz plays the first couple weeks of the season. I care if he's there at the end of the season when the Colts make the playoffs. I want him there for a deep playoff run, for a potential Super Bowl run. That's what I care about. So if the Colts decide, you know what, we're going to sit you just to be cautious for at least week one, possibly week two, but you'll start week three, I'm okay with that. I want long-term success. I'm not into the short-term success thing. I just talked about that with the Yankees a couple segments ago. I am much more interested in long-term success of the team that I root for. So we'll see what happens. But again, I couldn't be happier or more pumped about what it looks like for Carson Wentz and my Colts this season. Now, before I get into my Everything is Stupid segment, really quickly, there's one more NFL note that I wanted to make, and I just saw this as I was pulling up the article for my Everything is Stupid segment, and that is that Odell Beckham Jr. might become a Chicago Bear. So reports say that Chicago, this is from Outkick, reports say that Chicago would send veteran defensive end Akeem Hicks back to the Browns in exchange for Beckham. Hicks could sign right in step right in and have a positive impact on the Browns' defensive line. Just last season, Hicks played in 15 games with the Bears, putting up 49 tackles and 3.5 sacks. Reports say that Hicks is not happy with his contract situation, and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said they're looking for a new deal. The 31-year-old is in the final season of a 4-year, $48 million contract. According to Bleacher Report, the Browns would be silly not to make the trade if given the offer. Now it remains to be seen whether the Browns agree, end quote. So I think this could be huge for the Browns, more so than the Bears, because I don't trust Odell Beckham. I've never liked Odell. I've made that perfectly clear on this podcast many a times. And I think this would be awesome for Baker Mayfield more so than anybody else. Because if you look at the stats for Mayfield from pre-Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury last year to post-Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury, it's night and day. For whatever reason, Mayfield felt like he had to make a play to Odell every single game. He had to make sure that Odell got his touches. And I think a lot of that is because Odell Beckham Jr. is very similar to Terrell Owens when it comes to a locker room presence. He's very polarizing. He's kind of cancerous. And I don't think he's a good teammate. I think Odell is all about Odell. He doesn't give a shit about the team. He doesn't care about the success of the team. He cares about his stats, about being on ESPN, being on SportsCenter highlight reel. That's all he cares about, is making his money, making his endorsements, and not winning football games. So I think this would be a massive win for the Browns. It could be a decent win for the Bears if Odell can perform. Again, the dude's been injured a lot lately. So, I like this story more for the Browns than I do for the Bears. But anyway, let's get on to my Everything is Stupid. So we have a new race discussion in sports media this week, of course. And this time it's actually against FS1 and ESPN analysts on Twitter, which is kind of fun to watch. The topic is really stupid, but it is entertaining to see two of the lead sports networks go at each other. And this is over Sha'Carri Richardson. And Richardson, who lost her spot in the U.S. Olympic team after testing positive for marijuana back in June, she was the sprinter, lost out again this weekend. And so what ended up happening is she finished in last place in a 100-meter event. And now, I guess prior to this meet, she had drawn a lot of attention for herself, was talking about, you know, how she's going to be making a comeback and she was definitely going to make the Olympic squad in 4 years and all of this other stuff. So Emmanuel Acho, who is used to work for ESPN, actually now works for Fox Sports One, is on Speak for Yourself with Marcellus Wiley. I quote, "You can't call for attention, then hang up!" Exclamation point, end quote. Well, Clinton Yates, who is on ESPN, who's really not, as far as I'm concerned, not one of the better analysts that ESPN has, decided to quote tweet him, and he wrote, "You do it every day." Emmanuel Acho then responded, and then Clinton Yates followed that up with, "You constantly dissing black women on Maine ain't funny at all." Emmanuel Acho replied with, "Elaine Thompson is black. Shelly Ann is black. I have sang their praises from the mountaintops. I will continue to. Just because they're not your flavor of black does not mean they're not black. I'm not dissing black women. I'm checking unmitigated arrogance. Thanks." Ryan Clark decided that he needed to also quote tweet Emmanuel Acho as well. And he wrote, quote, "Doubling down on this hate for Sha'Carri Richardson, huh? Not sure what she did to you, but dang, I hope you bring her in for some of those comfortable as conversations you have. Those folks seem to get a ton of more grace from you. Just seems odd you go at this young sister so often." Marcellus Wiley then decided that he needed to get involved and back up his boy Emmanuel Acho. So he then, quote, tweeted Ryan Clark's tweet that I just read. And he followed that up with, and I quote, "PSA, when your people rather keep it race than keep it real, you will end up in last place. At Sha'Carri Richardson, better learn fast that if she has friends like Ryan Clark, she won't need enemies." And then he wrote, hashtag no yes men, no enablers, hashtag message. So they continued to go back and forth with each other. And it just, I mean, it got old kind of quick, but I think the crux of this whole thing is, it comes back to a discussion about race. And Clinton Yates and Ryan Clark are two ESPN people who do not take kindly to other black hosts or black entertainers or celebrities or anybody who criticize other black athletes, whether it be male or female. Now, mind you, both Marcellus Wiley and Emmanuel Acho are both black as well. So it's this weird dichotomy in specifically far left circles, and we see this, is that if you criticize, for whatever reason, it's looked as like a quote-unquote crime to disparage or to criticize another black athlete. And it's also not looked kindly upon if you don't agree with the group think. And Clinton Yates and Ryan Clark have swam in those waters for a very, very long time. Marcellus Wiley and Emmanuel Acho, neither one of them, I would consider them to be anything. If we're talking politics, they're not conservatives. They might be moderate. I would even say that they're liberal. But they're not insane. And that's the difference. You have these certain people, and again, Yates and Clark are not alone in this. There's plenty of people on ESPN who swim in those waters. That's pretty much ESPN unfortunately, why ESPN has become unwatchable is because if you watch enough of their programming, you can see that you're only allowed to criticize certain athletes, but you're not allowed to criticize others, or you'll just come up with excuse after excuse after excuse to defend certain athletes. Marcellus Wiley and Emmanuel Acho, while I don't really watch their show a whole hell of a lot, but I have seen clips on YouTube every now and then, they're pretty fair about their criticisms across the board of certain people. To them, it doesn't matter what your skin tone is. It doesn't matter what your race or ethnicity is. If you're good, they're going to praise you. If you do something stupid, they're going to criticize you. Sha'Carri Richardson, regardless of her race, regardless of her skin tone, regardless of her ethnicity, or her gender, it doesn't matter. She wanted the attention. She brought the attention onto herself, and then she performed poorly. That's on her. It doesn't matter who you are as an athlete. If you draw the attention and you want the attention, but you perform badly, guess what? You're gonna get criticized. That just comes with the territory. You know, there's nothing wrong with criticizing somebody who doesn't perform when they're the ones who bring the attention onto themselves. No one was interested in talking about Sha'Carri Richardson, and they weren't going to be because she's a sprinter. Nothing against her being a sprinter, but sprinters, unless you're Usain Bolt, you're not exactly going to be top page sports news until the Olympics come around again in 2024. So she brought attention onto herself, talking about how, hey, I'm making a comeback. I'm going to make a name for myself. Y'all are going to see it. And then on her first race back, after being suspended, she comes in last place. That's on her. And Emmanuel Acho and anybody else has any right to crush her for that. It wouldn't matter who the athlete is. If it was Tom Brady, if it was Michael Jordan, if it was Peyton Manning or Steph Curry, or you name the athlete, it doesn't matter who it is. If you bring attention onto yourself, you talk a big game, but you don't produce, you're going to get crushed. That's the way it is. That's how sports has always been. That's the whole thing where, like, if you talk a big game and then you back it up, your street cred goes through the roof. You're now a badass. You called your shot and you hit a home run. You just absolutely knocked it out of the park. You called your shot. You won the race. And I guarantee you, had she won the race after calling her shot, there would have been articles written about how, or tweets put out about how much we lost out in watching her perform in Tokyo. And they would have been right. Like, screw this marijuana suspension bullshit. We could have had, this woman could have won gold. But instead, she didn't show up. She came in last place after calling her shot. After bringing attention onto herself, that, again, that falls on her. That falls at the feet of her. So it doesn't matter who you are out there. You have every right to be criticized if you bring undue pressure onto yourself. That's on you. And so once again, we have another stupid story in the media regarding race. It's never going to end. This clearly seems to be the new pattern of the way that the media is going to go about doing things. But it's just, it's ignorant and it's dumb. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who you are as an athlete. If you call your shot and you don't perform, you deserve to get criticized. So we have some huge ESPN news, and that's the fact that Max Kellerman is going to be moving on from First Take. And this apparently has everything to do with what Stephen A. Smith has wanted behind the scenes for years. Now, ever since Skip Bayless left ESPN and left First Take, Stephen A. has never been a fan of Max Kellerman as the co-host. Never knew this before. There had been rumors out there, but now it's been confirmed that Stephen A., part of Stephen A.'s contract back in 2019, when he was negotiating, was that he wanted Kellerman out. He was trying to get Skip to come back, but he wanted Kellerman out. He didn't like, he's not a fan of Kellerman. I don't know if this is a personal thing, but at least as a professional thing, he's not a fan of Kellerman. He doesn't enjoy sparring with him on television. He doesn't like the way Kellerman debates. He doesn't agree with some of the stuff Kellerman that comes out of Kellerman's mouth. And so ESPN was not willing to part with Kellerman at the time. They said, no, not going to happen, but we'll pay you more money. So that worked for the time being, but now I guess it's finally going to happen. Stephen A. is going to get his way. Kellerman's out at First Take. Now, the reason for this, I think it's twofold. One, I think it's because Stephen A. It's been reported Stephen A. is really close with quite a lot of the high executives at ESPN. I mean, he is the face of ESPN, so obviously he's going to be close with the executives there. But number two, it's because ESPN Radio is tanking. It's terrible, specifically their morning show. And so and Kellerman, to his credit, as much as I don't like him, is really good on radio. So the plan is for Kellerman to now move to the morning slot that used to be Golic and Wingo. Originally it was Mike and Mike. Then it moved to Golic and Wingo. And ever since Golic got off ESPN Radio in the morning, those numbers have been putrid. The new radio show with Jay Williams, Keyshawn Johnson, and Zubin Mehenti have done terrible numbers, mainly because Zubin Mehenti is a great SportsCenter analyst. He is terrible on radio. And Jay Williams is just awful in everything. So nobody likes listening to those guys in the morning. And so the plan is to bring Kellerman in and match him with Keyshawn Johnson. And that's going to be your new morning radio show, which I think will do pretty well. Because, again, Kellerman can hold his own. Kellerman on radio is where he's at his best. And I think that the two of them will work out pretty well, specifically during football season. And then the plan is to also give Kellerman his own solo TV show for, I think it's going to be like 2 hours, like a 2-hour show at like the 2 o'clock hour on ESPN or ESPN2. So I think this goes to show two things. One, Stephen A. Smith is the face of ESPN. He is the most powerful talent at ESPN, and he can pretty much do whatever the hell he wants, and he's going to call the shots. The other thing too, though, is Max Kellerman does not seem to be a very well-liked individual. There have been other reports too, rumors and stuff like that, but there have been other articles over the years about other people who have come out and talked about how Kellerman's not exactly the nicest guy in the world. Like, he has this very arrogant and almost elitist mentality to himself because he feels that he is superior to others due to his wealth and his prestige and the fact that he went to all of these Ivy League universities. And you can even see that when he debates other people. I mean, specifically, you could see it whenever they talked like certain political and social topics on First Take over the last few years, specifically during the Trump years. He had no problem calling out people who he felt like if they voted for Donald Trump or he felt like if you were a Trump supporter, you were a low information individual. And he called people that. He flat out made some comment about like if you watch Fox News or you get your news from these other sources, you're a low information individual. Like, you're not a smart person. And Stephen A. cut him off in the middle of that debate and was like, we don't talk like that. Like, no, that is not okay. You do not call people low information individuals because they don't share your worldview. Now, do I think Stephen A. Smith agrees with Max politically, like agrees with that thought process? Sure. But Stephen A. Smith is smart enough to know not everybody who watches First Take gets their news from MSNBC or CNN. I mean, and Stephen A. Smith would know, he's gone on Fox News plenty of times to debate Republicans or debate conservative commentators to say, hey, like, this is my perspective. Like, this is how I view the world. I don't agree with you. And he's also been on MSNBC and has also argued with analysts on MSNBC too. So he knows, like, he has cross-cultural appeal and he knows that. And he's also business savvy enough to know that while ESPN may have gone, may be going down a certain political rabbit hole, which obviously they have over the years, he still understands that not every single human being that tunes in to watch him and watch that show agree with his politics. They tune in, though, because they enjoy listening to sports talk, and as soon as you start insulting them, you're now losing viewers. And if you've noticed, over the past few years, First Take has continued to lose viewers, and I think a lot of it does have to do with the political talk mainly coming from Max Kellerman. So overall, I think that this shows the power that Stephen A. has in this company, on this platform. But it also shows that people like Kellerman aren't as well liked or well perceived within the business as certain media members would like you to believe. Because again, it's a groupthink mentality, and Max Kellerman fits into that groupthink mentality that all the blue check marks like. But behind the scenes, that's not always the case. So we'll see. There's really been no discussion about who his replacement is going to be. It actually sounds like it's going to be a rotating cast of characters for a while. Like, they're going to have certain individuals for NFL seasons, certain individuals for NBA seasons. Like they've said, Dan Orlovsky will probably be on quite often during the NFL season, along with Ryan Clark. And then during the NBA season, it'll be people like Kendrick Perkins and whoever, I don't even know who that, Tim Legler probably will be on, like people like that. So it's going to be kind of like a rotating cast of characters for the time being until they can find a permanent replacement. And unfortunately for Stephen A., Skip Bayless just re-signed with Fox Sports, so it won't be him. But moving forward, we'll see what happens with First Take. Again, it's a very interesting power play by Stephen A., and we'll see if it helps ESPN in the ratings. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, please check out the other podcasts we have for you from the network, including Drinks with Dan, Spaceball, Richo's Rant, and, of course, Richo and Lala. And that is it. That's all we have for you this week. Hope you all be well and stay safe. Talk to you all again soon.